If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
First and 10. On the fake, looking for Andrews, has it. Mark Andrews turns upfield, looking for the end zone, diving for the pylon. He's in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
Fox on the call. That was last October when the Detroit Lions came in, and we were all scared. I think one of us picked Detroit to win that game. Might have been me. And the Ravens destroyed them on that Sunday afternoon because Lamar Jackson did Lamar stuff against a team that eventually made it to the NFC Championship game. Ravens went to the AFC Championship game. But we're talking about Lamar Jackson, MVP twice now in the National Football League. And let's just say that at quarterback, their starter, they're pretty secure for many, many years to come. But Josh Johnson is the only other quarterback on the roster, as Emory Jones and Devin Leary were both released yesterday. And I guess, Vinny, we're at the time we might see people added to practice squads and possible roster maneuvering. But you called it, two quarterback. You weren't impressed with Leary. Jones had his moments. But it's been Lamar and Josh all along. And right now, that's where we sit, just two on the 53.
Yeah. And Bob, I mean, you look at preseason games, and I was at a lot of the practices. If Lamar's not playing quarterback, it's a struggle offensively. And preseason was, too, Josh Johnson had, the 11 for 11 stretch. Otherwise, he was just okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's only two quarterbacks, and that's all that deserves to make it. And they're going to add one on the practice squad. And the practice, Bob, it's 12:06. They probably already signed 10 of them by now, anyhow, of the 16 that they're going to get. So the practice squad is filling up probably as we sit here.
And now, we talked about this with Bo Smolka last hour from Press Box. Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, and Rasheen Ali are the running backs for now. We know that Derrick Henry and Justice Hill are secure with their roster status, but Rasheen Ali, a little shaky right now?
Yeah, and he's not totally... He hadn't played or practiced in a couple weeks, so I would say that, yeah, that one's iffy. Because, let me just... the only reason... Otherwise, you're going to put him on a practice squad. Is anybody going to claim Rasheen Ali if you cut him? No. But here's what happens, Bob, is when you're, like, on a team, you feel like, damn, we can't cut... Somebody's going to claim that guy. Every one of your guys, you think they're going to claim. That's just a feeling that you have, and that you're so scared all the time. And what happens is like normally, like they may take one of your guys or something like that. But that's the biggest fear.
You've said all along that the third running back is going to be someone from outside the organization, and you're still, because Owen Wright, he's going to be out here. By the way, if you want Dalvin Cook, forget about it. He's going to sign with Dallas. But, the third running back will be from elsewhere, we're guessing.
Unless they keep Ali. I don't know. Bob, I mean, the kid that I watched in this preseason that to me looked really good is Frank Gore Jr. I mean, the last game he had 111 yards. I was shocked that they cut him, but and he's only 5'8", but he's just like his dad was. I mean, he's a hell of a player, and I think it would fit the Ravens. If he's got to be able to play teams, though, but he's a totally different style than what they've got.
Similar to Keaton Mitchell.
I don't think he has that kind of breakaway speed, right, but he's got great vision and stuff inside.
Now, wide receiver, we're looking at 6. It's Hardy, Flowers, Bateman, Aguilar, Tylan Wallace, and Tez Walker. So, any surprises with the wide receiver room, at least on this Wednesday?
No, the only one I would have had, Bob, maybe would have been, the only reason Hardy's one of 6 is because he's the kick and punt returner. Otherwise, not shocked at all. And I don't think Walker will be dressing against the Chiefs. And I'll say this, Bob. If Bateman has, you know, over 700 yards receiving, Zay's going to have his whatever. But if Bateman can do that, they'll be really good on offense. Just because, you know, with the weapons that they have, and if Bateman can become that guy, and he'll become, if he is that guy, he's going to have like over 300 yak yards. Because he's good at that. And he stays healthy for 16 games. But I think that's a big, and then that would put Lamar over 4,000 passing yards.
Tylan Wallace's role is going to be what then? More of a pass catcher, finally?
No doubt. I think he'll kind of have Odell's role. You know, fourth receiver. He's pretty reliable. Not a burner, but reliable catch guy. Can make some contested catches. I mean, he showed a little speed on that touchdown run, but who is he playing against?
Now, three tight ends, likely Kohler and Mark Andrews. You still think, Vinny, they need a blocking tight end, whoever that
is? Yeah, if they want to add a fourth, I mean, they think, I think they're going to try to say that Kohler's that guy. But for him to be that guy, to be the blocker, that I just, he's not going to be able to knock people off the ball. He's got to be such a great technician. And he's a 4.0 student, so he's super smart. But he's got to do, for him to block big people, he's got to do everything fundamentally perfect.
Now, Patrick Ricard listed as a running back, but his role is going to be what this season?
Well, I think, Bob, he's going to play a big role because the offensive line, I think, is going to be in need of help in pass protection. So I think he's going to do that. And then if they line up in the eye and do the, I'm sure they're going to have some things where he's fullback and he's going up on the linebacker to give Derrick Henry, you know, some space to run. So I think he's going to have a decent, he's not going to catch balls out of the backfield, but blocking wise and stuff. And he may have to be that third tight end because, I mean, he's 300 and some pounds and he's got more oomph than Charlie Kohler.
Now, the offensive line, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. 10 O-linemen, Vinny Serrato. The most surprising keep was who for you?
Most surprising probably was Saleh. Saleh, because he hadn't been in any discussions or whatever, and he's been playing right tackle, and he's been playing guard. In his pass protection, I thought he showed a little something that last game where he showed a little anchor in there. And he can move his feet, but he doesn't ever go with the ones or anything like that. So I was shocked that they kept 10 because, I mean, how many times I say on the show, I said there's about six that I can name that I really want. Other than that, how do I get the 9?
Right.
But I where are you going to go find somebody? That's the thing. There's nobody out there to go get, so you got to have some. So Cleveland can play center, and he can play guard, but they're probably scared of him playing center because he snapped it 10 yards over the quarterback's head. So say Mac, who is hurt, or he was back at practice, I guess, but he's a center from Michigan State.
Yep.
And he can also play some guard. So, I mean, there's the versatility there. Saleh may not dress. Probably won't dress.
What's Josh Jones bringing to the equation here?
If Ron, Bob, I mean, basically, he's the only guy on that list other than Ronnie Stanley that's lined up at left tackle. I mean, he started every game at left tackle in the preseason. Did he do it well?
So as we 8 days away from kickoff, the offensive line, are you more, I don't know, relaxed, content, or are you still kind of concern level rather high heading into this Kansas City matchup?
Concern level extremely high. I mean, Chris Jones and Karlaftis scared the crap out of me. And, you know, their defense, I think it's going to be as Harbs says, it'll be a work in progress. And I think there's going to be Bob, there's going to be Lamar running for his life at times, and then there's going to be some no-gain runs because they don't knock anybody off the ball.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, buy or sell. Let's count that win, midweek money. Jim Hunter, talk about the Orioles' win last night. Look ahead to tonight's game against the Dodgers as the Orioles look to win the series. Only a game out of first because the Yankees lost down in D.C. to the Nats. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch. We'll get to the Ravens' defense as we break down this roster.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick the song. Favorite female artist in the band. We'll play it for you. Send a request to Nolan. Plaza Sports text line. Orioles in Chavez Ravine taking on the Dodgers tonight. 10-10. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, and Ryan Ripken. Getting you ready for that one. Corbin Burns against Walker Buehler. Orioles game out of first. Ravens start their season in 8 days. Maryland's kickoff is Saturday in College Park against UConn and all sorts of fun things in between. But right now, let's count that midweek money. Buy or sell.
Yeah, we're not counting anything today, Bob. The Dow's down 171. The S&P's down 36. NASDAQ's down 207. DraftKings down $1.04. Under Armour down 50 cents.
Good thing started here in the AFC North where the Browns, they're going to be placing Nick Chubb on the PUP list to begin the season, which means he's going to be at least out for the first 4 weeks. Not really a surprise given how significant his injury was last year. A return for week 5 might still be wishful thinking, if we're being honest, but when healthy, he is one of the best at his position. This isn't the first time he's had to overcome a significant injury in his career. He had one in college, but a lot has changed since then. The O-line he's running behind, very suspect right now. Vinny, buy or sell, Chubb will post career lows in 2024.
I'll buy that. Just because I'm guessing, Norm, that he may be back like week 9. I'd be shocked if he's back then. I mean, he had, what, two major surgeries, because they had to do the one first before they could do the ACL. So, yeah, I think that probably about week 9.
You know what's crazy with him, excluding last year because he only played a couple weeks, his career low in a season for touchdowns is 8. Very productive his entire career. Low for yardage, 996, so he's always been around 1,000. Moving on to baseball here, O'Neill Cruz, popular name in there in Pittsburgh. He burst onto the scene a few seasons ago with freakish physical attributes. Not often you see a 6'7" shortstop. Well, you've never seen a 6'7" shortstop. He was the first of his kind when he debuted, but that's going to be coming to an end. The Pirates plan to move him to center field after he's committed 24 errors so far this season, including 12 in his last 28 games. It should be noted that Cruz has only played once in the outfield prior in his career, but buy or sell, Bob, the move will become permanent. Cruz will become a career outfielder from this point on.
I'll go ahead and buy it. 6'7", athletic skills at the yin-yang. Remember, Alfonso Soriano was a shortstop who moved to the outfield and became, I'm not saying he was Paul Blair, but had a very productive career at that spot. This guy's got a tremendous, tremendous upside, so why not take advantage of that vast skill set? Because, look, you've got good young pitching there in Pittsburgh, led by Paul Skeens. You've got some nice pieces, even though they're having somewhat of a disappointing year. Hey, man, maximize that value. I'm buying it, Nolan.
Back to the NFL. Plenty of notable players were waived or cut yesterday as every team formed their initial 53-man roster. But out in Green Bay, they got rid of their kicker, Anders Carlson, just a year after drafting him in the 6th round. Now, the one season that he did play there, to be fair, it was very rough. He hit just 76% of his field goals, 87% of his extra points. A lot of people wanted him gone as soon as the offseason arrived, but they brought him back. They added veteran Greg Joseph to the mix. Those two were supposed to compete all throughout camp and the preseason. And actually, Joseph had worse results in the games that he played in preseason practice than Carlson did. But Carlson still gets the axe. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Packers will have another kicking change before the season is done.
Oh, I'll definitely buy that. Because that is not a easy place to kick just because of weather and stuff. So you got to be able to handle the weather. But I think, and that's the worst thing, when you got a good football team and you got questionable kicking and you're going to be in tight games or, you know, games if you're going to miss a couple field goals, that's a killer. So I think that they'll be hunting and searching till they find one.
Anders Carlson sounds like a guy that would be a downhill skier. You would figure he could be cool with cold weather. Maybe they'll sign Chad Ryland, who got cut by the Patriots.
Musical chairs with the special team stuff. Back to baseball here. Things have not been good for Javi Baez since he signed with Detroit back in 2022. But he managed to reach new lows this season before ultimately suffering a hip injury that's now going to end his season because it requires surgery. He has a sub-200 batting average, just 6 homers, 37 RBIs, and 80 games played. Now, in his absence, they're giving rookie Trey Sweeney a little more run here, a little more of a taste of everyday life in the big leagues. He came over from the Dodgers in the Jack Flaherty deal at this year's deadline. This now poses an interesting question moving forward. Sweeney projects to be a starting shortstop of the future, while Baez has 3 years, $73 million remaining on his contract. Buy or sell, Bob, Detroit will end up biting the bullet and moving on from Baez this offseason.
Buying it. Maybe not this offseason, but the clock's ticking. That's an Anthony Rendon-level bad contract for the Tigers, who had the young core. They spent some dough, did not pan out. So Javi Baez, who looked like a multiple-time All-Star in Chicago, looks like a guy who will not play out the string in Detroit.
And we'll close with this. Every NFL coach certainly feels pressure, but some more than others due to high expectations and a failure to meet them in the eyes of the fan base. A couple names that come to mind here in the AFC, Robert Saleh. There's always pressure in New York. Maybe even Doug Peterson, a pair of 9-8 seasons, but no postseason success to show for it. But what about Mike Tomlin? He's as respected as anyone in the league, but the results have been very mediocre. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016, and in the 7 seasons that have followed, Pittsburgh has won 10-plus regular season games just 3 times out of those 7 seasons. Buy or sell, Vinny, even with that new 3-year contract, Tomlin should be among the coaches under the most pressure this year.
I'll sell that. I don't think he's under any pressure at all from the Rooneys. Just like Harbs isn't under any pressure. I mean, they're both in organizations that stability is what they believe in. So, yeah, I don't think Tomlin's got any pressure on him whatsoever. I mean, the owner wants to win. They want to win playoff games. And, you know, I mean, that's why probably they've been willing to go after Ayuk and willing to pay him and things to get more wins in the playoffs.
And we talked to Brian Bacco last hour, and he said he just got a contract extension in the offseason. Now, a little 4-13 will change the mindset if they bottom out to that level. But the Steelers, that's one thing they don't do is suck under Mike Tomlin.
No, they always have had a winning record under Tomlin. And, I mean, defensively, Bob, they're going to be good. And if they get, I mean, they're just like Cleveland. If they get good quarterback play, they'll have a chance. If they don't, then they'll be fighting for 3rd and 4th.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some Orioles with Jim Hunter, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, which is brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, longtime voice of the Orioles. Playoff atmosphere. Chavez Ravine last night as the Orioles edged the Dodgers 3-2. Talk about the bullpen's performance, but the continued struggles with runners in scoring position. Looking ahead to Corbin Burns trying to bounce back after a couple shaky starts. Phone calls, 410-583-1057. Nolan Funhouse, NFL Lunch, back to the Ravens 53 breakdown. We'll talk about the defense. And then Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Preview the season with him. NFL season, that is. Jim Hunter. Jim, what is up?
How you doing there, Bob?
Doing all right, Jim. Always great to talk to you. And as we talk about this Oriole bullpen, and sometimes it's with great frustration and anger, depending on how the results are, I think we deserve, they deserve a little praise. I know Dominguez made a little interesting late against LA in the ninth inning there, but what about Perez, and in particular Mike Bowman, and the job they did last night, holding down one of the best, granted it was without Freddie Freeman, but it's a time to praise the bullpen. Are you willing to heap some praise, or is it just like, whatever, enjoy it while it lasts?
Well, they're certainly turning it around. I mean, you look at the last five games, only on Sunday in the loss to the Astros did they allow runs, three runs on Sunday, two earned. So no runs allowed in four of the last five games. And Sir Anthony Dominguez has become an anchor. I realize Bowman did a great job last night because he came into the game with runners on. But Dominguez, in his last three appearances, has three saves, three innings total, no runs, one hit, and two strikeouts. So even though the bullpen overall has struggled on the year, I mean, their ERA is still 4.05, which is 19th out of the 30 teams in the MLB. But they do have 40 saves. And as long as they can protect the lead, and, you know, against the Dodgers team that had the best record in baseball going into the game, you're protecting a one-run lead. You have to get big outs, and they were able to do that.
Staying with the bullpen, Jim, what does Brandon Hyde do with Craig Kimbrell here? And we know that the April struggles turn into May and June absolute awesomeness, almost to the point where he should have made the All-Star team. Since then, he's been very, very shaky, if not outright terrible. It's almost like he's like a position player pitching. It's got to be 10 runs in one direction. Is it beyond let's straighten Kimbrell out stage here in 24?
Well, it's pretty obvious that they don't trust him in big spots. Otherwise, they'd be using him in big spots. So I don't know how, you know, it's like, Bob, you and I talk all the time about how especially young hitters, they're not going to break out of it by sitting on the bench. You have to be in the game to get your timing and to break out of a slump. And Kimbrell's got a pitch to break out of a slump. But obviously, the manager doesn't trust him in big spots. So, as you just mentioned, you know, you have to have a big lead or you're trailing by a big amount to get in there and work on your stuff. But obviously, right now, he is definitely not trusted. And I don't think you're going to see him, certainly in a closing situation, unless he's the only arm available. But even at a big spot down the stretch.
How surprised are you, Jim Hunter, that as we end August, head into September, that Ramon Urias has become one of the most reliable offensive performers?
You know, it's really interesting. And, you know, you and I talked earlier this year on BBT about why is he still on the team? Well, now we know, because he's a veteran that understands how to go about doing his business. Jordan Westberg hasn't played a game since July 31st when he fractured his hand when he was hit by a pitch. Urias, in 23 games in August, has 5 home runs and 15 RBIs, and he has 4 home runs and 13 RBIs in his last 11 games. So he has certainly been a bright spot for the Orioles, and they've needed the production. I mean, last night his 2-run home run was the difference in the game, and he hit it against Jack Flaherty, who was with the Orioles last year. And the other big hit last night was Ryan O'Hearn finally hit a home run. He had gone 33 games without a home run and finally hit a solo shot to get the Orioles on the board. So Ramon Urias, because he usually plays good defensively at third base, you know, I realize he has 5 errors now, including a throwing error on Sunday in the loss to the Astros. But his bat right now is really something they need for a team that overall has not really been hitting well. You know, they did manage 7 hits last night, but they're coming off the game on Sunday against the Astros. They had only 2 hits. And, you know, they had 3 hits in the finale against the Mets in New York, and they had 3 hits in the first game against the Astros, which they lost. So you got to have somebody you can depend on, and right now Ramon is that guy.
Jim Hunter talking baseball with him, Orioles baseball at that, as they take on the Dodgers 10-10 tonight. Orioles trying to win the series with Corbin Burnes on the hill. One of the problems offensively, Jim, the Orioles have had inability to hit with runners in scoring position. And you look at Gunnar Henderson, if, for instance, for the season. Not bad, 262 OPS over 800, but with runners in scoring position, two outs, he's hitting below 200, .156 to be exact. You're starting to see him get a little bit frustrated here when you're watching Gunnar at the plate in those situations. Why the struggles right now?
Well, I think it's just anxiousness. You know, you understand what a quality hitter he is, and you know he wants to do well and perform for his team. And I think if you're anxious, you kind of take yourself out of your game. You know, maybe you swing at a pitch that you shouldn't. Maybe you chase a pitch that breaks down and away or down and in that you normally would take if you're not anxious. And I really think that's all it is. I mean, you know, he's overall having a great year. There's no doubt about that. But he's got to understand that you can't do everything all by yourself. You have to take what you get, what you can get, and go up there and not be anxious. And you know, he certainly is having a very good year. You know, you look at his batting average. He's at .282. He's got 33 home runs, 78 RBIs in his 131 games. But you know, when you're anxious, you take yourself out of your swing mode and out of your game plan. And I think that's what I'm seeing mostly.
Hey, Jim, I thought Jackson Holliday had a couple really nice at-bats last night, the single. And then the nine-pitch walk I thought was probably his best because it was left on left.
Yeah, you know what, Vinny? He's certainly coming around. And again, as we mentioned earlier, the only way you're going to figure it out is to play. And, you know, he got the base hit ahead of Ramon's two-run home run that was the difference in the game. And the nine-pitch walk shows you that he's gaining confidence in his strike zone, although I know that home plate umpire had a horrible night for
both teams
last night, including the Cano's strikeout of the Dodgers catcher in the eighth inning with the tying run
Will
at second
Smith,
base.
Yeah, but
Jackson is starting to figure it out, and again, you figure it out by being in the lineup. And he's in the lineup. He's understanding what he has to do at this level against this awesome pitching. You know, the pitching in the major leagues is so much better than in AAA, and he's got to figure that out and learn what is his pitch, what not to swing at, and what to swing at. And I think you can slowly see him figuring it out.
Jim Hunter, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, our colleague here on The Fan. We're brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, longtime voice of the Orioles. Jim, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Hunter, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. We got NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. And then your American League East report coming up at 1:30. Orioles game behind the Yankees, who lost to the Nats last night.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of thoughts here on the Orioles. We'll start with this texter who says, you got to take these wins for what they are. Some close, hard-fought victories against top-tier competition. Does that mean they're fully out of their struggles? No, but it has to start somewhere. Why not make this the turning point?
Hey, look, in late August, now going into September, you take wins however you get them.
Yeah.
You don't judge them for style points. You just try to accumulate as many as you can. But to the texter's point, got to start getting on a little bit of a run here, no pun intended. And of all the injuries, got it. Bullpen shaky, got that too. Got to get this offense to be a little more than being one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And if it's a home run or bust, then, you know, that's not going to sustain itself in the long run, I don't think.
This one from Len says, Gunnar has been floundering since the All-Star break. I don't think he's injured, but his swing may be out of whack. Also, he seemed to flourish or be at his best when he was in the leadoff spot. Maybe consider moving him back there to jumpstart him a little bit.
Great minds think alike. You know what his OPS was leading off an inning? Which meant that as he hit leadoff, he usually let off at least once. Over 1,000. And I guess they need to put him in more of a position to drive in runs. I thought his run production was pretty strong where he was. So Gunnar Henderson maybe ascending to the leadoff again. I don't know. Moo Man's had his moments. We shall see.
Speaking of Couser, this texter says, Bob, I hear you mention Couser misplaying the double down the line, turns into a triple. But what doesn't get as much attention is some of his bad throws from the outfield. He's been highly inaccurate time and time again, even though he didn't have a chance of throwing out the runner on the subsequent sack fly last night. His attempt was embarrassingly high and wide.
Yeah, he tried to go Bo Jackson on that one.
Yeah.
And if there would have been runners on base, they would have all advanced.
He hit Irvin in the leg.
But still, yeah, I mean, he's not a bad outfielder. As a matter of fact, I think he has potential to be a really, really good one when his career is all said and done. But maybe trying to make up for stuff with that throw, because that runner's not even on third if he makes a clean play in left field.
And I got one more here. This texter says, having veterans like Ramon Urias around has saved the Orioles more than it's hurt them this year. I know people are all in on playing the young guys, promoting the prospects. But moving forward, if you start getting rid of veterans like Urias, Hayes already gone, Mullins, etc., it's all on the inexperienced players at that point. There's no more safety net when they slump.
I agree with that. And Ramon Urias, we talked about it a couple minutes ago with Jim Hunter. And in May, we're wondering what's he even on the team for. He's not doing anything. He's barely playing. He would go week two without even getting at bats. I was all about Connor Norby. Hey, you got put Norby in there, who's having a hell of a run in Miami, by the way. But Ramon Urias, he has been an absolute stud for them in the last couple of weeks. And where would they be without him? Be interesting when Westberg comes back, what, late September? Into October, who knows? But Westberg comes back. What happens with Urias? Doesn't look like Mateo's coming back anytime soon. I mean, is Holiday platoon with Urias and Westberg at second base? I mean, I don't know. These are decisions that Brandon Hyde is going to have to make. By the way, getting Westberg back is a good thing. Let's express
right,
that.
Right. I mean, it depends. Is he ready, you know, last week of the season, a little bit sooner than that? I think September call-ups. You know, who they're going to promote at that point will play a factor in that. And you even mentioned Mateo there. I'd probably assume that he's out of the picture right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know.
He met with the media last week when they were at home, and he don't even know what the next phase of his recovery is going to be.
You saw last night when they showed Westberg, he still got the splint on his hand.
Yeah, maybe wishful thinking that he'll return at all.
Well, the good news is Urias is picking up the pace and doing it in a big way. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back. NFL lunch. What's that Ravens defense looking like, at least as the personnel has been chosen by John Harbaugh and his coaches on August the 28th? And then Ryan Wilson's going to be joining us. We're going to talk about the AFC South. It's going to be a tough division. Colts could be really good. We know Houston's expected to be good. Hey, remember Jacksonville? A year ago, they were Houston. They tanked down the stretch. Are they ready to bounce back year three under Doug Peters?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.